In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. We might make it to the hour if you stick with us. I want to take some time, not a lot of time, but probably more than you had hoped, to talk to you a little bit about this letter that Paul has written to Titus. And to reflect on it on this particular day, this is one of two what is known as the pastoral letters. Paul is writing to Titus, who, by the way, has been dealing with the church. He has been in ministry with Paul, and he has been dealing with a very common problem in the church in the first century, which strangely doesn't sound uncommon in this century, in that there was a lot of false teaching going on, and there was a certain weakness in the leadership of the church. And I thought to myself, well, this sounds a little familiar. Not here, of course. But as we reflect on that and what he's doing in this section of Paul's letter, he's trying to encourage Titus to remember to be a teacher of sound doctrine. And as we hear this portion beginning at verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all." And that is why we're here, amen? We're here this night remembering that God has entered into this world, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, has come for us. And this is the very presence of God's grace through Jesus Christ. He has appeared, bringing salvation to all. And this is that time for us to remember that. And then something interesting happens in Paul's letter. He says he's training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly. A minor thing. We should be able to handle that, no problem. Amen? We're all self-controlled and godly. And we think there is, well, maybe not. And this is also that time of year when the world begins to look to Jesus. It happens twice a year, Christmas and Easter. And it's really a wonderful opportunity, I believe, to think about some, what is sound doctrine? And as I was reading this, I'm realizing, oh, perfect. Verse 12, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions. Training us. See, God incarnate entered into this world to help us and guide us and train us to be godly. That's good doctrine. Bad doctrine is when the church decides who they will judge and how to judge them. Amen? Not good doctrine. See, we're not the judge. We're supposed to carry the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is being carried by Paul and reminding Titus in this letter that God has come, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, we are being trained. We're being trained, helped along, so to speak, guided into being godly. Not judged. Not set apart because we didn't make the cut. He came bringing salvation to all. And trains all. See, God came to us with unconditional love, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness, amen? That's how God came to us. That's what we remember today, is he broke in to his creation as an infant child, to live with us, to understand more clearly what it means to walk among the human creation of his own, and to recognize maybe they could use a little help. I know I can use a little help. And I hear these words from Paul, and I think, yes, this is what we need to remember. We need to remember the love, the grace, and the mercy that God came to us with. And then he will train us to self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Strangely, and maybe it's different for you, but for me, That doesn't come naturally. In my broken, sinful humanness, I'm often struggling to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life. But we, brothers and sisters, are gathered here this night to remember that we have a God that loved us so dearly and so unconditionally that he came into this creation, into his own creation, as this infant child to grow and be among us so that he could guide us and train us into being godly. So what he's saying to us is living a godly life is an option for us right now. We can do this with his help. We can make a decision to walk with God. We can make the decision to receive the training. We can make the decision to strive for a godly life, living this life, grace and mercy. It's an option. But we live in this world, don't we? And it's always calling out to us every day, maybe even more so in recent weeks. Go to the mall. There's certainly something of this world that you just have to have. And don't forget, you have to take care of everyone else in the world. And you got to make sure you get the stuff that they have to have. Somehow, like, that's going to bring something to us that's going to change our lives. It might for a moment. But I guess many of us probably, I'm guessing, myself included, have had a moment with the world, amen? When we look to the world and we're saying, you know, I need something more. And we went to the world to find it. And I'd have to ask, if that was you, I know how I feel about it. I went to the world looking for something that was going to be more, something that would change my life, something that would help me along the way in this journey. And you know what the world offered me? The world. Worldly things. And you know what I discovered? They were temporary. Even those worldly things that brought me joy were still temporary. They faded away. And then those things that the world offered me that I took so I didn't have to feel the pain and the sorrow of the world or the pain and the sorrow of my life, they continued, by the way, to treat me in a way that just drove me further away from peace and comfort and grace and mercy. See, we can choose a godly life or we can choose the world. And we've had a lot of the world lately, haven't we? The brokenness, the fallen world we live in. How's it been working out for you all? It's wearing on us a bit, isn't it? If we're going to be honest. But there is still joy. There is still peace. There is still mercy, and there is still grace, and there is still God. Amen? And that is what truly brings us to a place of a deeper understanding of what it means to be a child of God. It's a choice we can make. Choose God, choose the world. Worked with a certain group of people over the years, people who tend to struggle with substances in this world, and one of the, I don't know if you're aware of 12-step programs, but they're not always really gentle to people. So people will come in, they're saying, well, why don't you come try it out? If you don't find what you're looking for, we'll gladly refund your misery. And they're, I'm doing just fine. Oh, you're doing just fine. Okay. How'd you get here? See, that's the thing about the church. We often think that we're supposed to be just so in order to come in. And really, the opening to a person to enter into the church, into a relationship with Jesus Christ, is not how good you are. It's whether or not you're willing to recognize your brokenness before him so that he can come in and begin to train and guide and lead. And he does that by offering his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And then we have this opportunity to choose him or choose the world. But ask yourself, as you make your own choices, how's this working out? I pray that we'll seek the fullness of who God's created us to be. I pray that each one of us this day will recognize that we have an option. As it says in verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, he it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Can you imagine? I mean, just for a moment, living in a world filled with people who are zealous for good deeds. We all see the goodness, amen? And we've seen more of it in a season like this. People helping others, people reaching out, people donating to good causes, getting out there and getting their hands dirty, because it's good. But when we take the training, it's not just good, it's a new life. We become a new creation. We become his children. We become zealous for good deeds, not just interested in them, but they sink in deeper. They aren't done so that we get a warm, fuzzy feeling. They're done because we begin to gain his heart and a heart of compassion. And when we see brokenness, we're broken. When we see people hurting, we hurt. When we see people hungry, we are moved to a position of feeding them and guiding and loving them. We are called to be godly. Godly, not worldly. And when we seek to be godly, then the world changes. See, here at Holy Innocence, we have our mission. It's transformed lives, transforming the world. That too is good doctrine. That's good teaching for the church. It's good understanding, and it begins with us. Brothers and sisters, those of us who are drawn here by God's grace tonight, the opportunity to choose to follow this Jesus, this God incarnate who has come into his own creation humbly to walk and walk with us so that we may learn from the Master, to sit at his feet, to become godly. So that this world that we live in, this world that we struggle in, this world that tells us that we're things that we are not, this world that harms us, this world that we struggle against so often, will begin to change. Just a little bit here and a little bit there, but it changes permanently. When it is changed by the people of God, by the power of his Holy Spirit indwelling them. See, it's not temporary, like the temporary joys of the world, the little things that the world tries to offer you, saying this is going to be everything you're looking for, and then suddenly that nice shiny new car 6 months later just isn't bringing you the joy anymore, amen? See, this trained heart that God wants to give you, that is eternal. That heart changes you. That heart changes the world, not temporarily, but for eternity. It's my prayer, brothers and sisters, as I stand here this afternoon, this evening, I guess it's almost tomorrow, I just pray that we will all accept the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness that's been given to us. We'll accept the training that is offered through the power of his Holy Spirit living with us as we wait for this blessed hope of his return. And we will allow ourselves to grow in a godly way so that we can live a godly life. zealous for good deeds. Merry Christmas.